Well, there's so many different interpretations of the Bible. A lot of different men believe different things. Let me give you several reasons. Number one, some men are lazy and irresponsible. They're not willing to work hard. Lazy preachers make lazy interpreters. And lazy interpreters make useless preachers. Second Timothy 2:2. We looked at it first hour. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. If you're lazy, you run the risk of making wrong interpretations. Number two, why are there so many different interpretations? Some men lack the gift to interpret and to teach the Word of God. Some men lack the gift and ability to teach the Word of God. How do you know you're called? How do you know you're gifted? What is the evidence of being called and gifted by God? We've talked about these things before. Now all Christians can understand the Word of God. But if you're going to be a teacher, you must have a special gift and ability to be able to understand and arrange and communicate the Word of God. And the problem with many preachers is they're not called and they're not gifted. What is the call to preach? We covered this before. Number one, an inward burden born by the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I am eager to preach. I am under obligation to preach. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, necessity is laid upon me, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. Jeremiah said, thy word were found and I ate them, and they became as a burning in my bones. I could not hold it in. If a man is called to preach, he has an inward burden given by the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, if any man desires or has an ambition to be a leader in the church, he desires a good thing. So there's a growing inward burden. Number two, there's outward consistent Christian character. First Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, these are the qualifications and requirements of leaders in the church. To have an inward burden to preach is not enough. You must have a consistent, growing, holy character. Number three, you must have an obvious, clear gift to teach the Word of God. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he must be able to teach. If God calls a man to preach, he gives him the gift to preach and teach. Now let's review this question. What is the gift to preach? Remember we said if God gives a man a gift to preach, it affects four areas in his life. And what are those four areas? His mind, his heart, his mouth, and his life. When God gives a man gift to preach, it affects those four areas. Now we've talked about this many times. Number one, it affects his heart. He has a deep love for the Word of God. Now all Christians should love the Word of God. But if God calls a man to preach, he has a special affection for this book. He lives in this book. He meditates on this book, and he obeys this book. When God gives a man the gift to preach, he gives him a special affection for this book. If you read Psalm 119, the psalmist says again and again, "Oh, how I love thy law." Now some people think David didn't write Psalm 119. Some people believe Ezra wrote Psalm 119. Because it's a very long and well-ordered psalm. But do you remember what it says about Ezra? Ezra set his heart to study the law of God. And to do and obey the law of God. And then number three, to teach the law of God. God calls a man to preach, he touches his heart. Number two, he touches his mind. Now all men can understand the Word of God. But when God gives a man a gift to teach, he touches his mind. And he has insight and understanding into the Word of God. He can look at a verse or look at a passage and he can see its order, he can can see its content, he can see its subject, he can see its arrangement. Now that doesn't mean as soon as he opens his Bible, it just pops out. He has to work hard. He has to know how to use his tools. But he can look at a verse. He can look at a passage of Peter and Paul. He can read it and meditate upon it. And he can answer certain basic questions. What is Paul talking about in this passage? What is his main subject? What are his main points? How does it fit together? He has a mind that is able to understand and arrange the Word of God. And he has a mind that is able to communicate it in a clear and orderly manner. So when God gives a man the gift to preach, it touches his heart and it touches his mind. Thirdly, it touches his mouth. There's a connection between his mind and his heart and his mouth. What he believes in his heart, what he understands in his mind, is able to come out clearly in his mouth. Now, different men have different personalities. And truth comes through personality. Some men have a loud voice. Some men have a quiet voice. But God touches their mouth. And they can put together clear sentences and explain things in a very simple manner. Because it's clear in his own mind. And if it's clear in his mind, it will be clear in his mouth. A good teacher takes high truth and brings it down in a clear, understandable way. And the words come out of his mouth like water out of a faucet. So when a man has a gift to teach, it affects his heart and his mind and his mouth. And number four, it affects his life. He's willing to sacrifice. He's willing to pay the price. He's willing to take up the cross. Paul says in 1 Timothy, Timothy, you take pains with these things and you work hard. Like a soldier, like an athlete, like a farmer, you are willing to submit to the Word of God. You're willing to discipline your life, and you're willing to work hard. That's the gift to teach. Heart, mind, mouth, life. And when a man is called to preach, number one, inward burden from the Holy Spirit. Number two, outward character of a holy life. Number three, a growing clear gift to teach. And number four, the confirmation and recognition of the church. Especially the leaders are the spiritual men in the church. So the problem in some Indian churches, why there is not good doctrine, because they're not good interpreters, they're not willing to work hard, or they don't have the gift to teach. I've told you many times, you can't teach a frog to fly. You can throw him in the air, he falls down. You can put some little wings on him, you throw him up, he falls down. You can make him a little parachute, you can throw him high, but he comes down. Why? He's a frog. He's not a bird. You cannot make a preacher out of a man that God has not gifted to preach. Now that gift can be developed. Sometimes it's very raw and in a seed form. But as he serves in the church, as he's faithful in the church, he's a good example in the church, he's willing to do the small things first. And what did it say in Acts 16 about Timothy? That he was well spoken of by the brethren. What did Paul say about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2? He said, I commend to you Timothy. For you know of his proven worth that he served with me in the gospel. Paul said, don't lay your hands too quickly on any man. But let him first be tested and proven. What is the call of God? Inward burden, outward character, clear gift, confirmation of the church. And that doesn't happen in 1 week. Doesn't happen in 1 year. India's great need, proven men, faithful men, gifted men that are willing to work hard, that have a growing understanding of the Word of God. So why are there different interpretations of the Bible? Number one, men are lazy, not willing to study. Number two, some men are not gifted or called. Number three, some men are gifted and called, but they've been brought up in a wrong tradition. And in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus spoke of the Pharisees. He said, you teach as doctrine the traditions of men. And one generation passes on other traditions, but it's not truly the Word of God. God. So that's why there are many different interpretations. Men don't clearly teach the word of God. They teach their own tradition. Number four, why are there different interpretations? Because they are false teachers in the church. They are false prophets, but they dress in sheep clothes. And in Acts chapter 20, Paul said savage wolves will come in from the outside and from your own selves men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples. So he told the church leaders to be on the alert and watch out for yourself and for all the flock of God. But if you don't understand right doctrine, you will not recognize false teachers. Now, we've talked about this many times before. Why are there many different interpretations? Number five, because the devil is the father of lies. And from Genesis chapter 3, where he twisted the word of God, all the way to 2 Peter chapter 3, when men twist the word of God, there the devil has sought to deceive people and lead them astray. So this is why there are many different interpretations in the church today. Any questions? Your responsibility. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Hold fast the faithful word that is according to doctrine. Your responsibility? Understand the word of God. Believe the word of God. Preach the word of God. Protect the word of God. And if you don't know doctrine, you'll not be able to fulfill your responsibility. And in chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if you hold fast the faithful word, you will be able to do two things. What are those two things? Number one, what is it? Now we've covered this many times. Some of you ought to be teaching us. If you are a preacher, your responsibility, deepen in your understanding of the word of God so you can do two things. Number one, what does it say? Exhort in sound doctrine. Good living requires right doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and following. Christ gives gifts to the church. He gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what is their responsibility? To equip the church of God. So the church can fulfill its ministry. And the church can be built up in love. So that it becomes a mature man. And it's no longer to be like children that go back and forth based on every wind of doctrine. Your responsibility is to ground the people of God in the Word of God. So they can grow. They can be protected from wrong doctrine. And they can fulfill their ministry. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, what's the second thing the preacher is to do? What does it say? He's to refute or correct those that contradict. He's to teach the truth, and he is to confront and correct error. And you must have an understanding of how to interpret the Word of God to do that. So if someone comes to your church and teaches you must be baptized in order to be saved, because Mark says in chapter 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And Peter says, baptism now saves you. Ananias told Saul, rise and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. And if you don't know how to answer those verses, if you don't know how to interpret them in their context, then people will teach you must be baptized in order to be saved. Another man comes into the church. He says the true child of God can lose his salvation. Because Jesus said in John 15, any branch that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts off. Hebrews chapter 6 indicates men can have all of this spiritual experience and then fall away. And if you don't understand these verses, if you don't interpret them properly, people will fall into error. And if you don't know how to interpret the Word of God, you cannot do those two things. Teach in sound doctrine, correct those that oppose. So why are there many different interpretations? For these different reasons. Any questions? So can you answer those questions? Can you open the Word of God and explain these things? Somebody says this. Paul said in Ephesians 2, we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, as a result of our works, so that any man will boast. But James says, you see that a man is justified not only by faith, but also by works. How do you explain James and Paul? If you don't know how to interpret the word of God, if you don't understand the context of Paul and James, if you don't understand what Paul is trying to say and what James is trying to say, then they will confuse faith and works. So you must grow in your understanding of the Word of God. You understand what we're saying. Can you answer those questions? Very important. Because many people are confused. That's why they're different interpretations. That's why you can't be lazy. That's why you have to be called by God. That's why you have to be gifted by God. That's why you have to be willing to work hard. Now I'm talking to you preachers. I told you before, I've been studying this book a long time. But I'm still trying to read and study and grow. So that I can be a better teacher. So that people can understand. That is our goal. But most preachers are too lazy. You must be willing to work hard. Alright, let me ask this question. What are the characteristics of a good Bible interpreter? Listen carefully. What are the characteristics of a good Bible interpreter? That's very simple. Let's survey it quickly. Number one, very obviously, he must be a true Christian. He must be born again. Write this verse down. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. What does Paul say? Verse 12. We've received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things freely given to us by God. It's not by worldly wisdom. It's not by worldly philosophy. It's not by worldly education. Now a lost man can understand some facts from the Bible. You can say this is what the Bible says who Jesus is. They said, I understand that. And you can say this is why Jesus came. In their mind they understand it. But in their heart, they don't really understand and believe it. He doesn't accept it. Verse 14. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. He can understand a few facts right here, but he doesn't really understand and accept and receive it in his heart. Why? End of verse 14. Because they are spiritually appraised or understood. Verse 15. He that is spiritual appraises or understands all things. Verse 16. Who's known the mind of the Lord? We have the mind of Christ. Listen carefully. Very simple. A good interpreter must be truly born again. A man can go to Bible college. He can go to seminary. He can have a PhD. He can be a teacher in the church. He can be like Nicodemus. Very sincere. He knew the Old Testament. He was highly educated. He was a teacher in Israel. But what did he say to Jesus? How can these things be? Jesus said, you're the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Listen carefully. In many churches, many Bible colleges, many seminaries, men had PhDs, but they've never been born again. A simple man from the Indian countryside that is born by the Spirit of God can understand more than a PhD in Delhi.
जिनको पवित्र आत्मा ने नया जन्म दिया है वो परमेश्वर के वचन को समझ सकता है बजाय इसके वो व्यक्ति जिसके पीएचडी और वो दिल्ली में रहता है.
What is the difference? The Spirit of God. 1 John 2. We have an anointing that comes from God. Is that chapter 2? We have an anointing that has been given by God. Where is that? Chapter 2. Listen carefully. Look at verse 27 and 28. Chapter 2, 27.
Yeah.
Now he says, you have no need for anyone to teach you. Does that mean that the Christian doesn't need any teachers in the church? What does John mean? You don't have a need for anyone to teach you. But Paul says this, that God gives to the church pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4. 1 Timothy 5. Let the elders who work hard be worthy of double honor, especially those that preach and teach.
1
if a young man comes to your church and he says this, I don't need you to teach me. The Holy Spirit teaches me. Because John said, I don't have any need to teach anyone to teach me. And how do you answer that? What are they doing? They're violating the basic principle of hermeneutics. They're tearing an arm off the body. They're twisting the scriptures. They're separating it from its context. And you must understand the context in order to properly interpret the Word of God. But listen carefully. A true Bible interpreter has truly been born again. Now our time is up. We want to take a break. I want you to keep working on these questions, because as we give our lecture on these principles, we're going to be using some of these examples to show the principle. Because there are different principles, hermeneutical principles behind each of these particular examples.